Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 21. Anybody need a worksheet? Just raise your hand and get a worksheet when you came in, whenever here. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up, keep it up until they get there. Matthew chapter 21. We're actually going to do the worksheet this week. Amen. Matthew chapter 21. Let me remind you that there's two cleansings of the temple. There's one in John chapter 2, at the beginning of the ministry of Christ. And if it's, we all works out, and all the sequence of events, that's where it has to be, and that's where John has put it. And then there's one that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that is the one at the end of his ministry, right after the entrance into Jerusalem. And so there's a bookends, if you will, on Christ making an announcement who he is when he clears the temple the first time. And then you see who he is all along. And then he makes one more statement. And that's when there's kind of a final rejection. He kind of goes into the temple that second time, which we're going to read here in Matthew, and says, you know, nothing has changed. There's still a problem here. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like someone telling me that, I need to change, that my heart's a problem. You know, you don't like that. I don't like that. And the Pharisees certainly didn't like the scribes and the priests. And he goes in and basically turns their life upside down. And that doesn't go over very well. And we talked last week about the one in John and made some remarks. Now, Jesus marks his opinion of the state, let me say this, of the heart of the Jews. I'm kind of giving some backup here. Well, I'm actually going to give a little bit, then we'll pray, and then we'll go through the scripture here. But reminder, when the tabernacle, the tent, was in the middle of the wilderness, and the Israelites were moving around the wilderness for 40 years. There was three tribes on the north, three tribes on the west, three tribes on the south, three tribes on the east. And in the middle of it all was the tabernacle. In the middle of the tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, where God dwelled. The Shekinah glory of God would come down. Have you ever seen that picture of the tribes? You ever seen that picture with the tabernacle and the pillar of fire and all coming down to the tabernacle there? That's the heart of the people. Now, if I've mentioned often before that in the Old Testament, again, are end samples. They're strikes of a die to teach us lessons. They're physical things that happened in history that God's going to use to teach us some spiritual truths. And so Israel is kind of like a picture of each individual Christian. What Israel goes through are things that we go through. And the fact that in the middle of Israel was supposed to be the presence of God. And then when we get to the time of Jesus, we have the temple. And the temple is supposed to be where the presence of God is. That's the temple. And when we get to the New Testament, of course, the temple is the individual Christian. And so God is showing us what's going on in the heart of the individual Christian. That's what we're dealing with here. We are not going to face God corporately. We're going to face God individually. Now, I will face God individually for having what I do with this church. And I believe that. In fact, it says that I look out for your soul as those who have to give account to God for it. I will have to give an account of everything I've done. There's been some times you might have felt I kind of dug my heels in. If I didn't think it mattered, I don't care. I'm not going to fight it. But if I feel like it really matters for the sake of the cause of Christ, I'm going to dig my heels in. You can get mad at me, but I'm going to give account. And we may get the glory, and you're going to say, aha, you were wrong, Pastor Walsh. You may. But I have to do what I feel I have to do according to the Word of God. I will give an account. But you're going to give an account. And so we have to look at it that way. So anyway, so the temple, we are the temple of God. And let's pray, and let's walk through Matthew 21, verse beginning at verse 12, and we will do this. We're getting a late start here, but I think we can do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths that are in it. Thank you for not just saving us and then just leaving us out on our own, but giving us the word of God that we can walk by truth, walk in truth, find your blessings, see the blessings of your hand upon our lives. And we just thank you so much for the way you take care of us and your mercy toward us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us each to rise up in your arms and do what we should do for your sake and for our sake as well, and for the sake of the good of the church and whole, as a whole. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your spirit. And we'll give you the praise for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, the cleansing of the temple, we have these little bookends. We have John chapter 2, and now we have Matthew chapter 21. It's on the front of your worksheet, and I put it some space if you want to put any more notes in there from last week. It says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold. I'm sorry, and the seats of them that sold doves. And we get back down, walk through those first verses. Jesus went. That word went has the idea to rise, to go, and went. And when it says he went into, it has the idea that he went in on purpose. He didn't just happen to go by and look in. He went in on purpose. He had an intention. This is something he was doing. He was proving a point, if you will. And he went into the temple. Remember, that's the sacred place, the holy place, the sanctuary, the place that is set aside, set apart for the specific habitation of someone. And in this particular instance, it's the temple of God, where God is supposed to dwell. We're the temple. We're supposed to have the Lord dwelling in us. They were supposed to have the Lord dwelling in their temple. That's a sacred place. And he says, he threw them out of the location. He plucked them out, however you want to say it. All them that sold and bought. Those who were busy trading, bartering, peddling, and all those who bought, and that word is that word emporium, to go to the market, to go to the gathering. Let's say it this way. The market of the world is where you go out and get what the world has to offer. And the fact is, they brought the market into the temple. And people were going to the temple to see what the world had to offer. Just to see what's out there. They're bartering. They're making business out of the things of God. And he says, he overthrew the tables. He turned them upside down to reverse them, to convert them, if you will. And those tables, those places of position, they're considered a stable place. They were used for food. We kind of went through this last time, but that word table, it means it's something that you go, you set up shop, you stay there. They had set up shop in the temple of God. Sometimes we've allowed a lot of things to set up shop in our temple. We let the world come in and buy and sell and trade all kinds of things in our heart. We just let it go in and out and let it go. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And then he says he overthrew the tables of the money changers, the currency exchange, to exchange what we think is valuable for what something else that we think is valuable. They didn't want the money with Caesar's face on it. They wanted their money. Of course, they were going to change, have the exchange rate as well. But we're so busy exchanging money because we think that's what's valued. Now, listen, God gives us things. He gives us monetary blessings to use for him. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not wrong to have money. But the love of the money is the root of all evil. Not the money. It's the love of it. Now, if you can't handle not loving the money, well, maybe God won't give you too much of it. But if you can figure out how not to love it and how God can and use it, well, then maybe God can trust you with more of it. You've seen me before often. You know, old Dr. Hiles used to have what he called the wordless sermon. And he said, the Lord gives you to use. He gives it to you to use. The fact is, there's once in a while you need something yourself. But if you're busy getting so you can give, if you need it, it's there. Now, well, when I take now don't confuse this. We take the offering, and we put it in to do the work of the Lord. We don't take the offering and put some in our pocket when it goes by. Just so you know, but when God provides to you personally, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. He gives it to you to use for His work. Now it says he turned over the seats. The seats, the immovable settled places of those that sold the doves. Now those who sold the doves, what's that the big thing? If you couldn't afford a really nice sacrifice like a lamb, you could take a couple turtle doves, and that could be your sacrifice. Now they don't cost a whole lot, but God would accept them. Because it's not the price of the, by the way, when you give to God, it's not what you give, it's how much you have left after you've given. That's really the real value of it. But anyway, the two turtle doves can be used. So what are they saying? That's the lowest sacrifice. So they were taking advantage of those who really couldn't do any better. They were even taking advantage of those who couldn't do a whole lot. And if you're not willing to, and then he said, we need to change our mind. We need to turn things upside down. And by the way, that's what God was doing here. He was turning their lives upside down, hoping they'd change their mind. And they hadn't yet. Verse 14, and it says, and the blind and the lame and came into the temple, and he healed them. The blind, the lame, the one who couldn't walk, the halt, came into the sacred place, and he attended to them, to wait on them. Last week we came about this, kind of finished. The social status of someone does not defile the temple. One's attire, the way they dress, that's not what defiles the temple. One's infirmities, his disease or whatever it is, that's not what, whatever cripples him or makes him less, so to speak. That's not what defiles the temple. We're going to see he's also going to bring the children in. That's not what defiles the temple. We come to this sacred place of God. These people did. They came to the sacred place of God to be healed. That's why we come to the sacred place of God. That's why we allow God to control this sacred place in our heart. He's got something he wants to do. There's healing that needs to be done. It may be a hurt. It may be sin. It may be a vast variety of things. He comes to heal that sacred place. Verse 15, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things, isn't that wonderful? It's amazing. He saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple. That doesn't mean they were crying. It doesn't mean that they were bawling. What it means is they were making a lot of noise. They were crying in the temple and saying, what were they saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. It says they were very displeased. That's not good. That's not good. They were lifting up the name of Jesus. Well, that's not good. The kids are making noise in the temple. It was cute on Sunday night when I started quoting John 3:16. They started quoting the scripture with me, though. That was pretty good. And they're right there with me. Listen, you know there are places where they would say, shh, 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 shh. We're in church. That's not what Jesus did. He says, have you not heard that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings God has perfected praise? That's what he says here. Listen, the religious leadership were upset because Jesus, the Son of the living God, was intruding on their sacred space. Wait a minute, this is our temple. Who's this guy coming in here trying to turn everything around? He's getting all the attention. This is not right. This is our place. I'll tell you what, when we bring this place to a point where it's all about the place and all about us, go ahead and write Ichabod over the door because we're all done. The glory will have departed. Listen, when you kick out the King of Glory, the glory departs. We don't have any glory. He has all the glory. We kick him out of our presence. Listen, they thought God was intruding on their, Jesus was intruding on their sacred space. The religious leaders were upset because there were noisy kids who loved Jesus in the temple. In verse 16, he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yeah. Have ye never read? And by the way, he says that often. Have you not read? Haven't you read your book? I'll tell you what, you read your Bible, it changes a lot of theology. They had a lot of theology, but they didn't know the book. They had their own theology. Have ye not read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected, completed, made it thorough, has perfected praise to tell the story. The story of what you really are is told by that which is in your heart. And these kids, listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The kids sang praises to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests said, shut up. That's two different hearts right there. That's the two different hearts. Now, if you remember back in Matthew 18, he talked about the children, and he says that except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not even enter into the kingdom. He says, you guys are upset because these kids are saying, Hosanna, the son of David. He says, you know what your problem is? You ought to be like them, not them like you. He says, until you change the way you're thinking, converted, change the way you're thinking and start thinking like a bunch of kids, you're not even going to heaven. Don't tell me about who's going to be the greatest in heaven. We're not even going to heaven. And it says, verse 17, and he left them and he went out into the city of Bethany and he lodged there. That word left them is more, every word that's in the Bible is there for a reason. That word leave means to leave behind, to abandon, to forsake. And he went out to go away from them. He said, you ought to get your heart like these kids. Then we have something going. And he left. He says, this is the way you want to be. I can't make you. They have to make their own decisions. And he wasn't mad. He was hard. He was sorry for him. But he left them. This is something that you're doing. This is not what is doing. Now, number one, let's work through these pretty quickly if we can. You probably know the first one. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Christians, we are the temple of God. Last week, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple, verse 17 says, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. What did he do when he walked into the temple? Messed up the place. Says, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is wrong. Get it out of here. Now, when we defile the temple of God, and we are the temple, don't be surprised when Jesus comes in and tries to turn your life upside down. Don't be surprised when he starts kicking some things over. Don't be surprised when he says, I need to get your attention. You haven't been listening. Have you not read what the book says? We've been doing, listen, I tell you this, and you've been doing the own thing. Your heart has not changed. Well, if the heart's not going to change, then I'm going to have to do some things to get your attention. Don't you think that Jesus got their attention when he walked in? In fact, a little bit later, he said, who gave you the authority to do this? Well, God did. And we do the same thing. God comes in, and he starts turning everything over on the inside, and we get mad at God. How'd you let this happen to me? Why did you let this happen? Why did you let that person get in under my skin like that? We're mad at God because he's trying to get our attention. It may be all kinds of things. It could be health issues. I'm not saying every health issue is this, but it could be health issues. It could be financial issues. It could be marriage and family issues, all those kind of things. It could be a multitude of things. And he's going to come in, and he's turning the tables on you. He's turning your life upside down because, ye are the temple, and if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. It's set apart. It doesn't belong to anybody else. When we are saved, we're bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns us. This is his temple. And what are we allowing to come barging through, running through the temple, We got all kinds of animals and filth and all kinds of stuff passing through our temple. And then we wonder why Jesus isn't all excited about what we're doing. We wonder why God's not blessing us. We're defiling his temple. Number two, we are the keeper of the temple. We are the keeper of the temple. Listen, first time he came, he says, my Father's house has been called a house of prayer. But when he comes the second time, you go back and read him, he says, you have made my house. Go back in the Gospels and watch it. You've made my house a den of thieves. Jesus is supposed to live here. And by the way, he says they've made the house a den of thieves. If all they were doing was simply buying and selling in the temple, then he's saying buying and selling is robbery. Okay, so that's not the issue. That's really not the issue, if you're sitting there buying and selling, trying to make a bundle on this thing and trying to figure out a way to connive and scheme and get this to work and this and that other thing, then yeah, you're a robber. You're a thief. And that's what he's saying. He says, you're playing off of God, trying to make money. You're in here to make money on this thing. He says, that's wrong. Number letter A underneath number two there. The temple needs to be kept sacred. Or you could say holy if you want. It's sacred. He says, we're the temple of God, and it's holy, and we're not supposed to defile it. We're supposed to be holy. We are not to be supposed to keep it sacred. Letter B, the temple is set apart unto God. Now, I've already talked about that. The temple is set apart unto God. It's his. I'll tell you what, one of the things that we could get stuck in our head, like I said on Sunday morning, let this sink in, is it sunk in yet, is that we do not belong to ourselves. We have no right to run ourselves through the muck and the mire and the filth of this world. We have no right. We are bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. Listen, Job said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. I'm sorry, that was in the Psalm. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a maid. That's what Job said. And as the psalmist says, we should set no wicked thing before our eyes. He said, I'm not gonna run around with a wicked man. They're not gonna be in my house. We need to think about what it is that we're allowing to come running through our temple. What are we allowing to pass through? We are set apart. The temple is to be kept clean. You don't have a letter C, do you? No, you don't. Anyway, let me say, give it to you. That's right, because it's a question. What is the status of your temple? What is the status of your temple? The temple is an outward expression of the status of your heart, if you will. That's kind of what God's saying here. And he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. Okay, so are you receiving him into the temple? Or are you letting a lot of other stuff in the temple and really don't have a whole lot of time and room for him? What's the status of your temple? Where we take our temple. Where do you take yourself? Every place you go, Christ goes with you. What comes out of your temple? Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the abundance of the heart speaks. And we see who we are, a reflection of what we are. This is kind of on the side here, but we complain maybe about some of the politicians that we have in our country. But do you realize they're simply a reflection of our nation? They voted them in. What do you do? They voted them in. It's a reflection of us. It's a reflection of the heart of our nation. Number three. So number one, we are the temple of God. Number two, we are the keeper of the temple. And I've kind of already ahead of myself. Number three, God owns the temple. God owns the temple. He said in verse 13, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. but ye have made it a den of thieves. He says, my house, it is written, God knows our hearts before we know our hearts. God knows our heart better than we know our hearts. We live life, the Bible says, as a tale that is told. God can write down the whole history of our entire lives from the day we are born to the day that we die, no matter how many years that may be, he could already write down the history of our lives. And if God says your heart has a problem, you had better go ahead and take his word for it. He says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, a dwelling, a home of prayer, of supplication, a house of seeking God. That's what our heart's supposed to be, a house that seeks God. But he says, but ye have made it a den of thieves, a cave, the hiding place. It's a hiding place for robbers. What's hiding in your heart? You'd be surprised how many folks who are Christians are still takers. They're takers. And, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't ever, I'm not saying you shouldn't help them and so forth and so on. You should. The Bible says the poor you shall always have with you because it helps us to learn to give. But you know what? We ought to get past that. Paul says in Ephesians, we should steal no more, but work with our hands so we have something to give somebody else who has need. Are you a taker? Or are you a giver? Spiritually, or are you a taker or a giver? Be honest with you, you can tell how mature we are. What do mamas do? They give all day long, all day long, all day long. Help those kids do this and do that, and the kids take credit for cleaning the room, and all they did was put three toys in the box, and mama did the rest of it. And the fact is, we probably did the same thing when we were kids, but then we grew up. We put away childish things. As a Christian, we need to grow up. See, I need to take responsibility for myself. Well, I can't do it. I know, that's because you're supposed to take the responsibility of taking it to God. And then you see God take care of you. And then your faith builds up. And it grows. These people who were running these shops in the temple, they were takers. They weren't thinking about enhancing the worship experience of the people who were coming for Passover. They were saying, man, we got a bunch of people coming in here. I think I can make a couple bucks off of this. I've known people who've come to a church just to network to get some clients for their job or get clients for their work or whatever. No, I don't have any problem with you working with one another. I like to work with Christians. I wouldn't. In fact, when we built our house down in Maryland, I think everybody but one or two of our subs, I was a general contractor, every one of them except one or two of their subs were all folks that I knew from church. And I told them, I said, I came to them, I said, now, and there was more than one that could have done a lot of those jobs. And I came to them and said, now, listen, I'm not looking for a cheap deal. I'm not looking for a special deal. I'm just coming to somebody who I know I can trust to do the job they tell me they're going to do. That's all I want. I'm not looking, be honest with you, I tell you what, there's a lot of clergymen, I'll say it that way, who think the world owes them a free ride. Oh, my soul. I knew a lady who would go in and say, well, I'm the preacher's wife and I should be able to get this discount, don't you think? Come on, soul, come on now. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You tell me God can't provide your needs according to his riches and glory because you're in the ministry? If anybody can get his needs met, you ought to be able to get your needs met. You know, don't go around looking for everybody to give you, you know. Anyway, These people were coming to church looking for. I've known preachers who go. So help me. When I was in college, there were some guys I went to a first time at a secular college. They had a pre-ministerial program. This secular college. And I was talking to this one guy. We were on a choir tour and we were headed someplace and had some chance to talk. And I said, I got to talking. When it was all said and done, he liked the idea. Literally, you stand up, you speak for 30 minutes on Sunday morning, and then all you got to do is visit some folks in the hospital and take some cookies over to an old lady some here or there and golf the rest of the week and get paid and get your pension and everything else because you're part of this denomination. I mean, I'll tell you what, I got a hold of the wrong denomination. How about you, Pastor Dallas? I'm going to have to work till I'm dead. I'll retire on the other side. Amen. But I'll have a better retirement on the other side. God owns your temple. So who's running your temple? Number four. Something that is truly sacred. It is set apart. Something that is truly set apart. Now our temple is supposed to be set apart to God. All right, now watch me. Something that's truly sacred is not for sale. I can't sell something that I don't own. I get to live in this temple, but I don't own it. My heart belongs to Jesus. When you sell out, you're stealing from God. You cannot sell something if you don't own it. Something sacred is not for sale. You don't sell something. My mom has some things that have come up from family to family member to family member, all the generations. Those things are not for sale. They're sacred. They're part of the family. We're buying, he says, what we're doing is that they were buying and selling in the sacred place. I think sometimes we think that God can be bought. For instance, we cannot buy off God with our money. We can't buy off God with our money. Number two, we can't buy off God with our religion. Well, if I just give enough money, God's going to be happy with me. He doesn't need your money. You need to give your money to learn how to live by faith. That's why you're supposed to do that. Listen, you go back and go through the Bible, God talks a lot about money. It's not that it's bad. Just don't trust it. It can be gone. It can fly away. One bad phone call and we're up the creek. But I've got a father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills and all the taters under the hills. And all the dandelions and everything else that goes past the hill, he owns them all. And if he wants to provide my needs with it, he can. We can't buy off God with our religion. Well, I do this and this and this, and he ought to be really thankful that I'm a Christian. I'm doing him a big favor. Number three, we cannot buy off God with our service. Well, I work for him, and I do this, and I do that, and this. We can't buy off God. Not only do we think, some people, not only do they think God can be bought, but while we're buying God off, sometimes I think we think we can buy him off at the cheapest price. Well, I'll just do a little bit of this, and that puts me over the hump there, and, you know, I got more good than I have bad in, and all this kind of stuff. God doesn't do that. We're bartering with God. Well, if I do this, then God I want you to do this. And what's in the temple? What's in the temple? Number four, we think, watch me, righteousness. We think that righteousness can be bought. Let's go the other direction. Well, if I do this and this and this, thus I have righteousness imputed upon me. I was telling some folks the other day, and I think I said this maybe in here. I know I mentioned it today to someone. We... We've got to be careful how we approach teaching our children, for instance. There's a lot of programs. The program we use here, the Lighthouse Kids Club, is not just Bible-based. It's Bible-centered. I mean, it's all Bible. Well, don't you got it? Kids got to have some fun. They have fun. They do. Well, if all you're going to do is sit there and read the Bible, well, is that how you read your Bible? Man, we're working with God's truth here. This is the most exciting book in the whole world. This, we got truth. These are the rules of life. And if I know the rules of life, whatsoever I do shall prosper. That's pretty exciting. That doesn't mean we get money in my pocket every time, but I'm making headway. I'm going the right direction. But I'm not, listen, we don't want to just teach character traits. Because we see, well, if you do this, and you do this, is what Christians do, and the Christians do this, and Christians do this, and Christians do that, well, that's fine. And so the kids start doing those things by habit. You've taught them, you've trained them to do those things. Well, then I guess I'm a Christian. And they may die and go to hell. What I want to do is I want to lead them to the foot of the cross, and I want them to receive Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and I want them to live a life realizing we're sinners saved by the grace of God, and we need God to live through us every day, all day, and let them become a new creation from the inside out. Listen, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, you can exhibit those things and them not be the fruit of the Spirit. But if you've got the Spirit of God in there, those things are going to show up. It's a natural byproduct. And if those things aren't showing up, then we better go back and look and see if we've got the Spirit in us at all. Is the Holy Spirit in our temple? Well, if he's in our temple, is he running the temple? Or are we running the temple? Number five, we think holiness can be bought. You can't buy holiness. Holiness means you're set apart. Means you have taken your fingers off of yourself and you've given yourself to God. Let me ask you, is your sacred place for sale? Your heart, is it for sale? Let me ask this. What will you let into the sacred place if the price is right? There's a lot of guys who are businessmen who kind of do the wrong way. Well, every man has his price. Well, they wouldn't do it for this, and they wouldn't sell out for this, but wouldn't sell out for this. But there's a price where they would. Then it's still not holy. You're just holding out for a bigger price. It's just not worth a trade for you. Listen, if it's holy, it's sacred, there is no price that can buy you off. No position, no lust of the eyes, no lust of the flesh, nor the pride of life. None of that. Let me ask you this. What filthy, vile thing is wandering around in your sacred place? We got some sheep. By the way, they leave debris. Sheep and animals leave residue in the temple. After a while, it just starts to stink. What's running around in your temple? Oh, listen, you can pass them through and don't smell it at first. But it starts living there. Eventually it's going to show up. We're going to know what's in your temple. It's going to come out. When it does come out, you can't hide it. I bet you couldn't hide the fact that there was animals in the temple. A few years ago, they built a big development over in Lancaster. And they built all these homes. And then the next spring came around, and all the local farmers started fertilizing the field. And all these people with these big fancy homes said, "What is this?" They said, "What do you mean, what is this?" I mean, the folks who lived there, they knew what they were. "What do you mean, what is this? This is Lancaster. It's full of farms. What do you expect?" You know, and these people, you know, they do it the way God intended. They use the natural stuff. What do you think over here? "Well, we didn't know this. This is terrible." And they tried to sue. I said, "What do you mean you're going to sue? We lived next to a farm. Didn't you see the cows? And what did you expect?" And so they start, they actually, if they, so they, when they started showing houses, they had these scratch and sniff cards. I saw it. You scratch this thing and sniff. That's what you're going to smell certain times of the year. Now, folks, listen. You live too close to the animals, it's going to stink after a while. What's running through your temple? It's supposed to be sacred, clean, not vile, not filthy. Letter C. If your temple is sacred, it's not shared with something else. If your temple is sacred, it's not shared with something else. Now, let's take our halos off. We've all had a few sheep run through our temple once in a while. It's, man, I can't believe I let that thing, I let that door open and that thing just snuck right in there. What do you do? Clean it up. Air it out. Watch the door. Don't let them in again. Keep the temple sacred. God's not going to share his sacred place with anything else. And so he's going to let you know when there's other things in his temple that's not supposed to be there. I think sometimes we dismiss little things that God actually are little clues. God's saying, stop it. When I was a little kid, we didn't have any place to go to children's church. We sat right there, you know. And there was times when, you know, I'm a little boy. Got Hot Wheel cars and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I knew what the preacher was saying. You know, and I'm drawing, I'm doing this. And Dad would look at me and go, and sometimes he goes, and then sometimes he says, and after a while, you get that look, it says, when we're out of here, you're out of here. To the moon, Alice! And we're in trouble. Listen. A little, God has winked at you a couple times, and you didn't pay attention. He said, no, wait a minute, no. We don't treat our house this way. Don't you wipe your feet. Don't you come in here with that mess. Don't you let that door and bring that mess. And then there's been times when he's given you the eye. And there was time when he actually kind of set you aside there for a little bit. And there's some folks who still did not get the clue. And he had to chase in us. I think he's a loving father. He doesn't beat us. Listen, every time we do wrong, he doesn't go, stop it, Sterling. We forget that he's a loving father. So he doesn't smack us to pieces the first time we do wrong. So when he says, clean up your temple, how about for a word for the wise, we clean up the temple. I remember when my dad built he put together this that 1908 Maxwell, and it was a show car, and he had it all. It was full brass lights and all this stuff, and he put this white tread on the running boards and the floorboards, and it was sharp. Red car with a white tread and all this stuff, and it was sharp. But you know what you had to do? It had this brass trim. I wasn't allowed to walk on the running board. That's what a running board's for, is where you put your foot. But it's a show car, so you're supposed to step on the brass so you didn't get the white rubber and you ease. I remember the first time I forgot and I stepped on, oh my soul. I mean, you would have thought, don't do that. We're making our house dirty. Number five, I'm not getting done, am I? Number five, the temple is God's sacred place. The temple is God's sacred place. Is your worship self-seeking or is it God-seeking? When you go to church, is it about you or is it about you finding God? I'm going to stop because we're going to be done. But let me give this one illustration. When my mom tells me about before, probably a little before I was born, she said when they went to church, these things, and she had all these little hats that you, and she had all these hat boxes full of hats. Of course, this is back in the 50s and the 60s. And they all had these little veils on them and a little feather here and this and that and the other thing. And I thought they were Halloween costumes. I really did. In fact, she had one. She had this big black hat with this plume that went here. And she had this fancy shirt, you know. And so I put that on and put some knickers and some boots and put that on. And I went to Halloween as a pirate. Yeah, I was looking pretty sharp, you know. She had all these hats, and I said, and down in the bottom of the hat box, she had these pairs of white gloves. And I said, what is all this? She says, that's what we wore to church. Now, there's nothing wrong with dressing up for church. I'm all for giving God your best. But it was not what it turned out to be. I mean, you don't wear the same hat 2 weeks in a row.
That's right.
And you don't come to church without your white gloves on. And so church became about them. Watch this. Hang on. Hold tight. When I was little, we had Mother's Day. That meant the kids were going to stand up and say their pieces about mother and how they love her. Now, nothing wrong with that. But, and you know, when the kids do something like that, I understand. You know, I mean, they're cute. They're your kids. There's Johnny. He's mine. He messed up 4 or 5 words. But isn't he wonderful? He's the best one up there. You know, all that kind of stuff. When we had Father's Day, the kids did a program. Then we had Children's Day, and the kids did a program. I always thought the mom and dad should do a program for the kids when we had Children's Day, but they didn't. But watch, it became about the little show. Now, they say a little piece, and that's fine, dandy. If you want to do that at school, fine. But I'll tell you what I really want to hear other kids. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but everlasting life. That's what I want to hear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It say it was in the beginning with God. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what I want to hear coming out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. I want to hear that. If we're not careful, it all becomes about, it's about the temple, but it's not about the one who owns the temple, who lives in the temple, the one who deserves the praise, the one who brought this temple to life. What's in your temple? What's in your temple? He went in to clean the temple. We need to clean the temple. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, maybe there's some things that we thought about that we should just rethink here this evening. Maybe there's some things we need to throw out of the temple before you have to come by and throw it out yourself. My guess is if he had looked at those guys and they had a sensitive heart and he could guide them with their eye instead of with a bit and bridle, my guess is he wouldn't have stopped them and turned their tables over because he would have known in their heart they realized they were wrong. I hope that we will do the same. There's something in our temple shouldn't be there. Maybe clear it out. Not defile the temple. We don't want the Lord to destroy our temple. Maybe make it holy unto you. Speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.